Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Samach Hey. We left off on the very bottom of Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So we left off, I believe, at Amar Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah, all the way at the end of Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara is going to continue the discussion relating to wine and davening when drunk, paskening when drunk, and then the Gemara is going to get into keeping focus on learning Torah and how if a person is distracted, even in the slightest way, it's going to affect his learning, and when the best time to learn Torah is, the Gemara is going to then discuss certain positive qualities of wine. We went through so many terrible things that wine causes a person, so we're going to go through some of the positive qualities that wine has, and then the Gemara is going to go back on Amud Beis to the Erevin Sugyas, and we're going to talk about if you have a non-Jew and a Jew that live in one chatzer, and a Jew that lives in another chatzer, that neighbors, that's adjacent to that chatzer. So does the existence of the non-Jew in one chatzer affect the Jew in the adjacent chatzer? The Gemara is going to talk about whether the non-Jew and the Jew live in the inner chatzer and the Jew alone in the outer chatzer, or the reverse, and how that may make a difference, which one is the inner chatzer and which one is the outer chatzer. And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk about doing a schirus of a rishus from a maskir. So you need to do schirus rishus from a guy, but what if the guy's not there and he's only a renter anyway, but the landlord happens to be around? The landlord doesn't live there. Can you do a schirus rishus from a maskir who doesn't actually live there? So let's begin. Samach Dalam Beis at the very end of the page. Am Rav Sheshes Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So Rav Sheshes quoted Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Yachla ni liftars kol olam kulam in adin miyom shachar beis hamikdash v'ad achshav. That I could come up with a way to patter the entire world from din with a taina that I would have for to be melamed zchus and klal Yisrael from the day the beis hamikdash was destroyed all the way up until now. Shenet, meaning we wouldn't be liable for anything. All of our averos, they wouldn't count for anything. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Sefer Yeshayahu, l'chein shimi nozos aniya u'shchuras lo miyayin. That in the Nevuah and the Nechama of Yerushalayim, we say that from the tzaros of the galus, the Klal Yisrael was considered like shikorim. We're considered to be like drunk, and therefore, since we're drunk, we're not. We don't have das. We don't have the ability to function properly. So all the averos we did are in our fault because we're drunk while we're doing all these averos. Says Gemara, is that true? A drunk person is not responsible for that which he did. Meisve shikhu. Shikur mekhu mekach memkra memkar avar aver sheish b'misa memisnoso malkus malkinoso that klal shodavar areki pikeach l'chol dvar vel shpat min atfila. The halach is that a shikur is chayiv in everything. Whatever transactions he does are absolutely binding. If he does something that he's chayiv misa for, it's chayiv misa. If he does something he's chayiv malkus for, it's chayiv malkus. The only thing a shikur doesn't have to do is davin. So how can you say you're going to patur klal yisrael from every aver we do from the time of the churban abayis because we have a din of a shikr? No, if you have a din of a shikr, you're chayiv in everything. So my chol lifter to come and nami mi din tefila. No, when he says I can patter all of Klal Yisrael from everything, he doesn't mean from everything. He means mi din tefila, that if we daven shalom bekavana, we're patter for that because a shikr is patter from tefila. In the parish of the Re'af on the Ein Yaakov, he asks, and then we should be patter from tefila legamri. Why is it that meaning when we're assuming this means that if we're going to be held accountable for davening shalom b'kavana, we'll be able to come up with an excuse. No, we only daven shalom b'kavana because we have a din of a shikr. Why don't we go even further and say that we shouldn't have to daven at all? And not only that, it should be aser for us to daven because if a person is a shikr and they daven tfilasa toeva shasoy al yispalel, but tfilasa tfila a shikr al yispalel with tfilasa toeva. We just learned yesterday. So if it's tfilasa toeva, you shouldn't even be allowed to daven. So the Re'af on the Ein Yaakov answers that a shikr is patur from tefillah because he could wait and then daven when yafig yeino, when the effects of the wine wear off, as opposed to if we have generations and generations, centuries of being in a constant state of being a shikr because of the Churban Habayis, we can't patur ourselves from tefillah forever, but we have an excuse why our tefillah is not so much b'kavana, because were like shikarim, and that's why it's a little different than someone actually being shikar. This is all the halacha that a shikar is like a pikeach l'chol dvarav, that we just mentioned, that he's considered like a bardas and that he's responsible for all of his actions, is only if he's not yet higia l'shikrusu shalot. He's not as drunk as Lot was, where he has no idea what he's doing. But if he gets to the point of shikrusu shalot, then he's actually pater from everything. Any transaction he makes is totally invalid. If he violates an avera, he's not going to be nenash, he's not going to be punished for that avera. The Marshal writes that even a shikr that's higia l'shikrusu shalot is pater from onash beizdin for violating an avera. But if he's mazik somebody, when he's b'shikrus, he definitely has to pay for the nezek, because the nadam is more the olam. So when it comes to bein bonus, bein baratzon, bein shag, bein mezun, no matter what, the nadam is more the olam. So if he actually does a hezek while he's b'shikrus or shalot, then certainly he's going to have to pay for it. He says, and logically, you'd have to say that way. Otherwise, it would be impossible. A person could just be an alcoholic. A person will get himself drunk and he'll go and destroy everybody's property, and he's not going to have to pay for that. He's negligent in getting himself drunk in the first place. So it would be impossible for people to function, for society to function, if anyone who's drunk was not responsible for damage he did to other people. It's one thing he does averos, but it's another thing he does damage to other people. He'll just, because that's how the Marshal writes. So the Bach writes the same way, and he says the reason he's chayiv is because he shouldn't have gotten drunk in the first place. He should have known better than to get drunk in the first place. However, he writes further that even if it was on Purim, where it's a mitzvah lishtaker, still he's chayiv to be mishalim if he's mazik somebody else, because the mitzvah is only to drink to the point where you sleep a little bit, mitoch shechruso. That's how the Rambam writes in the second parak of Hilchos Megillah, but not to drink to the point where a person completely loses control. However, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Purim, in Simon Tav Reish Sadi Hey, writes that if a person is mazik chavero because of Simchas Purim, he's going to be potter. And the Prima Gadim explains over there that on Purim, people are mistama, people are mochel the nezek, and he says because Simchas Purim, it's considered like an ones a little bit, because that's the nature of Simchas Purim. However, the Magen Avraham says that's only if he does so mitoch simcha, but if he has kavana lahazik, he's going to be chayiv, meaning a person who with the idea that you're potter from nezek when you're mazik someone on Purim, that the Rama writes, that's an idea that the Purim celebration is meant to be a rowdy celebration. So if you're celebrating in a more rowdy kind of way, it's likely you might step on someone's foot, someone, clothing might get torn or something like that, something minor might happen to somebody else. But to actually go and to actually attack another person, even if it's in a state of shichrus, a person is certainly going to be chayiv for that. That's a shayla, there's a chumas hadeshan like that, it was a shayla was asked at a time of hakafos, I think it was, or something like that, where they were going around by the Hoshana, and one person broke the other guy's arm. So I wanted to know if he's chayiv. And the maisa was that someone had heard, in the way the Trumas Nedeshan has the shayla, someone had heard the fellow who broke the other guy's arm tell the other person, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, it's time for Hakafos. I can't wait to break that guy's arm." Meaning, if you're taking advantage of the fact that it's rowdy and then you're going to go after somebody, so then of course you're going to be chayiv. The whole patur is that based on the idea that someone who's entering into a rowdy Purim celebration understands the risks, that when things are a little bit rowdier, so that's considered to be an implicit mechila in you have a similar thing, Tosfos writes. Tosfos writes when it comes to celebrating a wedding, the Mishnah in Sukkah says that the Mishnah in Sukkah talks about that. What do they do after they were finished with their lulav and esrog? So it says that miyad tinokel shomtin lulav v'ochel esrogayan. So what does it mean miyad tinokel shomtin lulav v'ochel esrogayan? So Rashi writes that they would go over to the children and they would take away their lulavim, and then they would grab the kids' esrog and they would eat the esrog. They would take a bite out of the esrog to indicate that it's over, that they don't need it anymore. So Tosfos says, no, that's not what the word miyad means. Miyad doesn't mean from the hands of the child. Miyad in Shas always means right away. That right away everyone would take their own lulav and throw it to the ground. Everyone would take their own esrog and take a bite out of it. But Tosfos adds, don't think that it's a problem if they were to mug the children in that way. They were to take away their lulav and esrog. That wouldn't be a problem if that was the way they celebrated. Because if that that's the way you celebrate a mitzvah, then that's not considered to be a violation of being mazik somebody else's property. It says just like when you celebrate at a wedding and you tear someone's clothing through the lebedik dancing at a wedding, you're not going to be chayav for that because you know the risks. A person is going into that situation, they understand that that it's meant to be a little bit. They throw caution to the wind a little bit when they engage in such a celebration. But a person stam who's drunk and goes after people because he's drunk, that certainly he's going to be chayiv for that. That's how the post can point out. The Smagan Avram writes on that Rama. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, kalamapik magen b'shas gaiva. Anyone who passes over magen, meaning the bracha of Magan Avram, which means tefillah, which is a fancy way of saying someone who doesn't daven b'shas gaiva. Shas gaiva means at a time that he's drunk. Sogru v'chos mitzaros ba'ado. Tzaros are not going to come to affect him. Meaning he didn't have kalas rosh to daven while he was drunk. He was careful not to daven while he was drunk, so he's going to avoid tzaros. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Iyov, kava afike maginim sogru v'chos mitzar. Now it's interesting that the instead of saying someone who doesn't daven, we said someone who's mapik magen. We only give the example of that one bracha of magen Avram. So the Marsha explains, yeah, because that's the bracha that Kavanah's ma'ake for. Kavanah's most critical for the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. So since Kavanah's most critical for the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, we say, yeah, the bracha that really needs Kavanah, you can't even get started with Shmona Esrei, the bracha that really needs Kavanah is right at the beginning, and that's the one that one has to be so careful about being drunk. That's the famous Reb Chaim on the Rambam, where the Rambam seems to have a stira, the Rambam Perek Dalet versus I think Perek Yud of Hilchos Tefillah, where in one place he writes that a person needs to have kavanah for the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, the other place he writes a person has to have kavanah for the entirety of Shemoneh Esrei. So Reb Chaim famously tells us that no, what the Rambam means to say is that there are two types of kavanah. There's kavanah that you're omed l'fnei ha-makom. That kavanah is the most basic kavanah, to just realize that you're talking to the Ribbono Shel. That's not even called kavanah. That's it's just not tefillah if you don't realize that you're omed l'fnei ha-makom. You don't realize you're in the presence of God. You're not davening. You're practicing reading Hebrew. You're saying the words very nicely, but that's not davening. That's not tefillah. Tefillah means you're talking to Hashem. So v'omid l'fnei ha-makom, that's ma'akev, the entirety of tefillah. But when it comes to the first bracha, even the pirush ha-milim, even to understand what the words mean, is going to be ma'akev. So maybe a drunk person has the capacity to understand that he's omid l'fnei ha-makom, but he certainly doesn't have the capacity to focus on what the words actually mean and to focus on what he's saying. So that's why Dafka we highlight Magen. The Ritva says, no, we're not talking about the bracha of Magen Avram. Magen is a code word for tefillah, because tefillah protects us. Magen means that which protects us. So tefillah serves as a protection for people. But be that as it may, that's Rabbi Chanina's statement. Someone who doesn't daven when they're drunk is going to avoid sorrows. By mashma the high apik lishna davurehu. How do you know that when we said mapik Magen, that apik means to skip, that you skip tefillah, tichsiv, because the pasuk says that achai bagdu kamonachal kafike nechalim ya'avoru. So you see, afike, it's like the afike nechalim that ya'avoru, that they'll pass over. So you see, it means to pass over, to skip over something. Rabbi Yochanan amar differently. Rabbi Yochanan says kol she'eino mapik itmar, that the pasuk is talking about someone who's not mapik. Meaning the word apik, he understands differently. It means to expose, to reveal, and the pasuk is telling us that anyone who's not megale his tefillah, meaning who does not daven while he was drunk, is going to lose. Not have to deal with tzaros. So it's the same message. It's the same message, but he had not, instead of kalamapik magen, it's called she'eno mapik magen. So it sounds like it's the opposite. But then he takes the word mapik and he flips what it means. So it's not the opposite. It's the exact same thing. In the first, if you say kalamapik, so he said mapik means to pass over. Kol she'eino mapik, mapik means not to pass over, to actually do it. So you see, so either way, it's telling us not to daven while you're drunk, and then you'll avoid sorrows. So my mashma dahai mapik lishon de gluyuhu. How do you know mapik means to reveal? Tichsiv ayro afike mayim vayigalu mostos tevel. So you see that giluye hamayim is called apik mayim. It's something that's megula. So michti kray mashma bein lamar bein lamar. So you have psukim to back up each version. My benayu, and they seem to be saying the same thing anyway. So what's enough kamina between these two opinions, whether it's called a mapik or called she'eno mapik? So you can be naive to Rav Sheshes. Enough kamina is the sheet of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, Masa Shinas. Nasi L'Shamei. Rav Sheshes used to tell his Shamish, when he got drunk, he would go to sleep a little bit, and he would tell his Shamish, let me sleep a little bit, but when the time for davening comes, I would like for you to wake me up. So Mar Isli, Rav Sheshes, Rav Yochanan holds, like Rav Sheshes, that a little bit of sleep is enough to take away the effects of the wine, because he didn't say not to daven b'shas shichrus and to be mekayim that. You know, all he said, was not to daven b'shas shichrus, and in order to be mekayim that, he just needed a little bit of sleep to take away the shichrus. Umar less laid Rav Sheshes, whereas Rabbi Chanina disagrees with Rav Sheshes. He holds a little bit of sleep is not going to be enough to allow you to daven, because he darshined that b'shas shichrus, you need to be ma'avir the tefillah. Sounds like you have to be ma'avir legamri, to the point where you wake up on your own, and you can't just have someone wake you up a few minutes later. So Amar Rabbi Barashi Amrav, if a person's not, his mind is not at ease, he's not focused, he should not daven until he has daitum yushavas olav. Shenemar, because the pasuk mishum shenemar, because the pasuk says batzar al yora mishum shenemar the batzar al yora, because the famous pasuk batzar al yora. Rashi says famous pasuk doesn't exist. It's not nimtzu b'shum makom. He says it could be that it's in Sefer Ben Sira. It's not really a pasuk in Tanakh. Tulsa says that you find a lot of places in Shas where we quote psukim that are in Ben Sira, or he says the Gemara is not really referring to a specific pasuk. It's we learn from other psukim that someone who's bitzar shana al yore and lo yispalel, and we're talking about v'shukhrus v'lo miyayin, or some of the other psukim that we quoted from. But it doesn't mean that that this is an exact citation of a pasuk of bitzar al yore, because in a chinami there is no pasuk. It's interesting that if we're going to make up a pasuk and we want to talk about a person not davening while he's while he's why would we make up a pasuk about al yora? We should have made up a pasuk about al yispalel b'shichruso. There's a mosquito on the window there. Okay, so that's interesting. But we're quoting something that presumably is not that seemingly is not really. Is not really a pasuk. So that's how Rashi points out, and it must be from Sefer Ben Sira. So if someone's saying Daitim Yushevasalov, he's not supposed to daven. The Mordechai and the Agos Maimonios over here say that that's only everything we're going to talk about not davening because you don't have proper focus. We don't do any of that nowadays, because we assume nowadays we don't have proper kavanah in the tefillah anyway. But when it comes to shichrus, that's a different story, because that's considered to be like a very terrible avera to daven b'shichrus. So that's noeg even b'zmanenu. But when it comes to anything else that a person is just not focused, we still daven anyhow. The Beis Yosef quotes the Mordechai, even about a shasui, that he's mutter b'tfila b'zmanenu. Because remember we said yesterday, there's a difference between a shasui and a shikr. A shakui al yispal b'tfila so tfila. So now we say a shasui yispal, that a shasui can daven b'zman hazeh, because the level of kavana that we're able to muster up anyway is not going to be the same level of kavana. And this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch and Simit Saditez says all of this lahalach. And Mishbura over there says that it's pashut, that if a person wants to daven when he's daito trudo mvulbelas, because he's angry or something like that, he should first try to calm himself down a little bit, meaning it's not that we throw in the towel entirely. If a person sees that he's more agitated than he is normally, he should try to calm himself down. But but we assume that in our normal state, we're still not going to be perfectly focused. Rabbi Chanina b'yom d'ratach lo matziv. Rabbi Chanina, on a day that he got angry, he wouldn't daven. Amar b'tzar al yoreksiv, because Pasuk says b'tzar al yore, that a person's not allowed to paskin, that not allowed to pass in Bitzar. It's interesting, the Gemara never said Shenem Ar Bitzal Yorah, it said Mishum Shenem Ar Bitzal Yorah. Right, that's the Rishonim point out already, if I recall, that whenever we say Mishum Shenem Ar, we're saying that it's not really a Pasuk, that this is not an exact quote, or either it's not an exact quote, or it's not really a limud from that Pasuk. Sometimes we do quote a Pasuk, but it's not an exact limud from that Pasuk. That's what Rav Sturmbach writes in the Tshuva, when a person's counting Sfiras HaOmer, so in the Siddur, there's printed a little nusach in advance of Sfiras HaOmer, after the phrase of L'shem Yichud, that Hinni Yichud Muzum L'chaim Mitzvah Shal Sfiris Homer, Shenemar, Kamo Shenemar B'Torah, Svartam L'chaim Marchus HaShabbos. So Rav Shlomo points out, that's really wrong, because we pass in Sfiris Homer B'Zvan HaZez Drabanan. So how can you say that you're Muchud Muzum L'chaim Mitzvah Shal Sfiris Homer, that it says in the Torah? So he suggests that you should say Mishum Shenemar. And if you say Mishum Shenemar, that's an indication that it's not really a fulfillment of the Pasuk, that it's only a Din Midrabanan. So over here also, maybe the Gemara Dafka uses the term Mishum Shenemar, because it's not really a Pasuk that we're in fact quoting over here. So anyway, so Rabbi Chanina, on a day that he got angry, he didn't daven also based on Bitzari there. Maruk would be Omadushusa, Lo Avanafik Lebedina. On a day that the southern wind blew strongly, he didn't go to Beis Din because he knew he wouldn't have the proper Yishav Adas. Amar of Nachman Yitzchak Hilchsa Bayitzilusa, Kiyoma de Istina. In order to engage in a Dvar Halacha, you need clarity of mind, like a day that the northern wind blows, which apparently is going to be a bright and clear day where it makes it easy, where it's easier for a person to think. Amr Abayi, I amr li aim kariv kutcha. If my adopted mother were to give me any sort of mild job to do, any sort of chore to do, just to bring in the kutach, the ketchup from storage, or to buy some in the store, lo tanai, I wouldn't be able to learn properly that day. Meaning, even the most minor distractions really take a person away from learning. Remember when I was in Keren B'Yavin, the Mashkiach Rav Rivlin used to say that people think, he told us before Ben Azmanin, that the Varden Ein Lecha Ben Chorin El Misha Osik B'Torah is that whenever something needs to get done around the house, everyone says, oh, everyone seems to be busy. Oh, you're just learning, so you're free. You're not doing anything if you're just learning. So you can go do the errands. So he was telling us that we should be responsive and do the errands anyway. But that's the godless of yeshiva, is that you don't, that there's no distractions, that there's nothing to take away, because you can't learn the same way when there are distractions. Even if it's a minor distraction, to just run an errand. Amarava ikratz tamkina. If a person was bit by a louse, lo tanai, he's not going to be able to. I wouldn't be able to learn. Rava said, even if I got a little mosquito bite, I wouldn't be able to learn. Marbered Ravina avdalei ime shiva mani l'shiva yame. His mother made him seven different changes of clothing for seven different days, because that way you'll avoid lice in the clothing. It's going to be and he'll be able to focus better in learning. Amarav yidalo ibri laila el shinasa. That nighttime was created for sleep. No, the moon was created so that you can learn Torah, to light up the nights a little bit, so you're able to learn Torah by the light of the moon. That's a discussion. Is it dafka by the light of the moon? Why can't you use a candle? Meaning, at nighttime, you're supposed to learn. We get it, but it doesn't have to be lav dafka by the... It would seem that it should be lav dafka by the light of the moon. So that's a question whether Kabbalistically or something like that, there's something about dafka learning by the Or HaLavana, as opposed to just learning stam by a candle. So the Achronim point out over here that we say Loiva Laila Ella Lashena. But then the very next line is how you're supposed to be learning at night. So it could be that there's a difference between some nights and other nights. There are the nights of Tkufas Tammuz and there are the nights of Tkufas Teves. Meaning there are nights where the nights are very long and nights that are very short. So in a longer night, obviously a person is supposed to not spend the entire night sleeping if it's a longer night. That's what Tosis already writes. The Rav Yehuda is talking about the Lel Tkufas Tammuz, and so Sefer Livyas Chayin says that you see a raya that the proper amount of time to sleep is 6 hours, because Tosis writes that during Tkufas Tammuz the days are 18 hours long. So if the days are 18 hours long, means the nights are 6 hours long, and that's when you've crowded out any possibility of learning from the night, because you're in the longest days of the year. So apparently a person is supposed to sleep 6 hours a night. But when you have, like now, we're going into the wintertime, you have these very long nights, so then a person can accomplish a great deal in terms of learning at night. So that's what we say, that the moon is created in order to legirsa, in order to learn. So Rabbi Zeira machandon shmeitach. So he says you're very sharp in your learning. So amalahu diyamami ninhu. He says whatever I told you is what I learned during the daytime, because daytime is meant for limud Torah, nighttime is meant for sleeping. So that's why whatever sharpness I have is only because I learn at the proper time where I'm really able to focus. So Amar le Barti Rav Chista, Rav Chista, Rav Chista's daughter told Rav Chista, lo bayimar menam porta. Why don't you sleep a little bit? Meaning you seem so exhausted, you should get some rest. So Amar la hashta asu yomi daricha v'ktine v'neinam tuva. Soon days that are long and short are going to come, and then I'll sleep a lot. Meaning meaning there's a lot to sleep in the kever. I'll die eventually, and that's when I'll catch up on all my sleep. But right now, I'm not interested in wasting my time sleeping. What you see from here is that there were different attitudes toward the value of sleep already in the times of Chazal. There are different people that are made up differently. Some people focus much better when most people focus much better when they get a proper amount of sleep, and some people are able to push themselves to a point where they don't need to sleep at all. Amram that were sleep very, very little, obviously. Amram Nachum Yitzchak Anan Poli Di Mame Anan. We are hired to work during the day, meaning those Tamid Chacham who learn, we're supposed to learn during the day dafka. Rav Akiva Yaakov Yosef Upara, he would borrow time from learning during the day and he would pay it back at night. That there were times during the day that he would learn each and every day, and with the Gemara used the expression of borrowing and paying back. That was like a chov that he had such as kavuas manim to learn, and he would, if he ever missed it, he would have to make up that time, he would have to pay it back. The Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, they say, says like that, that he used to always refer to it as his chovos, that once he was making a chasna or something, and he missed Shever Brachos, and the Mechutin said, why wouldn't you come to Shever Brachos? And I have too many chovos that I had to make up. So they thought that he needed money for paying for the chasna. They went and they took a collection for him, whatever. He was referring to his chovos of his daily limud to finish Kala Torah Kula every year. Those are the chovos that a person has. If a person comes from traveling, he shouldn't daven for 3 days. Shenemar v'kapti melanor habab. So it's only after 3 days that he was able to be mavin ba'am. That it's only afterwards that he had this sense of bina because of the tareach haderech, because it was so troubling to travel so much. That after traveling, it takes a while for a person to find their equilibrium again, to get back into their into the right mindset. The Meiri writes that nevertheless a person should still daven a tefillah k'tzari. You shouldn't be mevatel tefillah entirely just because you're bumming a derech. And many of the other Rishonim say that that's only in Doris HaRishonim, that they were able to be mechavin b'tefillah anyway. But nowadays, even if you're bumming a derech, we assume whatever kavana we normally have, we'll be able to have after we're bumming a derech. Some sofers say, no, this is talking about extra tefillos. But your regular tefillos kavuos, bumming a derech doesn't patter you from. If you want to take an extra tainis or something like that, be mespalel and they tzari, or something like that, that's what we say it takes 3 days for that kind of focus. The Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchos Tefillah writes that someone who's bumin aderech and is tired or is agitated is not allowed to daven ad shetisyashiv daito, and he should wait 3 days until that happens. So the Kesef Mishnah learns from there that he holds that it's not begeder iser for everybody, it's for someone who feels that he's very tired, who feels that he's distracted. The Rambam doesn't just say a bumin aderech doesn't daven 3 days, he says a bumin aderech and he's ayef, and he's meitzar. So if you feel that that's what's happening with you, then you don't have to daven. So the Iyun Yaakov raises a fascinating question. Chazal learned that Yaakov Vinu was mesaking tefillas arvis from the fact that the pasuk says vayifka b'makom. So, but l'chora, he was traveling, and he didn't wait 3 days to be mesaking tefillas arvis. So how could it be that and that's the epitome, that's the original takana of tefillas arvis. So, which is fascinating also. Rabbi Sablovsky said recently, right before Yom Kippur, a whole bunch of people in his shul had to go into quarantine and they were going to miss davening b'tzibur and Yom HaKippurim. So Rabbi Sablovsky said that Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen called him stam to wish him a Gemar Chassima Tova right before Yom Kippur. And he said, "Nu, Tzvi, how you doing?" And he had no idea what was going on in his shul. Rabbi Sablovsky was mamish broken that so many people are going to have to miss tefillah b'tzibur. He was crying. He just couldn't. He said, I tell you the truth, I'm not doing great. People are going to have to miss davening on in Yom Kippur. It's breaking me. So Rabbi Cohen said to him, Yaakov Avinu is misakin tefillas arvis, Avram Avinu is misakin tefillas shachris, Yitzchak is misakin tefillas mincha. Which of them daven b'tzibur? None of them. They manage it. You could have a perfect tefillah when you have to. Obviously, we value tefillah b'tzibur, but if you can't, then you could still daven. So anyway, so Yaakov Avinu was the epitome of tefillah. So I asked you in Yaakov, how could it be that he was davening when he was bumin aderech? So he suggests that that's why Chazal say that tefillah sarvis rishus, because he was traveling at the time of his tefillah, and therefore it's not as strong of a tefillah. Or he says, tirdas aderech is because of a fear of sakanas adrachim. However, Chazal tell us that Yaakov Avinu had the Chumash tells, he had Malachim that were Malave him, and he had a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he didn't have to be fearful of anything. So Yaakov Avinu didn't have the concern of Sakarnas HaDrachim. So it's not just the exhaustion of travel, it's the fear of danger, which was something that Yaakov Avinu didn't have to worry about. Avod Shmuel Kiyasi Burcha, when Avod Shmuel would come from traveling, Lamatzli Tosi Yomi, he didn't daven for 3 days. Shmuel Lamatzli Bebesa Dispe Shichra. Shmuel wouldn't daven in a house that had beer because the smell was so intoxicating. Rav Papa Lamatzli Bebesa Dispe Harsna. He wouldn't daven in a house that had these small fried fish because the smell also would cause him to become distracted. So now we talk about some of the positive things of wine. Amra Bechanina, Kalam Ispata Beyeno. Anyone who is satisfied with wine, or is calmed down by his wine, Yesh Bo Midas Kono. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing something that's godlike. Shenemar, Vayorach Hashem Es Reach HaNichoach. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys, so to speak, Kaviyachal, the Reach HaNichoach. So we darshan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nispayis with in the world with the Reach HaNichoach of the Karbanos. And we said that a Reach is Doma L'shtia, similar to drinking. So someone who's Mitzratza because he drank is similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that he's enjoying a Reach HaNichoach. Amra B'chia, Kol M'siyashi B'yeni, Yesh B'midash Shivim Zekenim. Anyone who drinks wine and is and still has his wits about him, his mind is at ease, he has like the das of Shivim Zekenim. Yayin Nitim B'Shivim Osios, the gematria of Yayin is 70, V'so Nitim B'Shivim Osios, and the gematria of Sod is 70. So Nichnas Yayin Yatsa Sod, and that's when wine comes in, the secrets come out, and he's like Shivim Zekenim. Amra B'chanim, Lo Nivra Yayin El Nachim Avelim. Wine was created for the purpose of providing the chama for avelim. The halach is an onen doesn't drink yayin, but an avel is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. Well, the shalim schar l'rishayim, and also to pay back rishayim in olam hazeh, that they should get some reward for whatever mitzvahs they do. So they'll be mekabel their schar in this world by drinking wine. Shenamar tenu sheichar l'oved and yayin l'marei nefesh. So yayin is given to those who are going to in the olam emes. They're going to be thrown away. Am Rabbi Chanan bar Papa kol shein yayin nishpach b'toch peso kamayim inu b'chal bracha. Anyone who wine is not poured in his house like water is not bechal bracha, meaning it's a simen bracha when wine pours freely in one's house because it shows a sense of ashirus. Shenamar veir chesach mechaves meimecha ma lechem shenikach bekesem meiser af mayim shenikach bekesem meiser, because it talks about mayim and lechem. Well, if it's talking about lechem, lechem could be bought with meiser sheni money, so we must be talking about the kind of water you could use meiser sheni money to buy. Problem is, you can't use meiser sheni money to buy water. So mind you, what's the water, what's the special drink that you can use Meiser Sheni money to buy? Yayin, it must be a reference to Yayin. V'kakari le'mayim, and we call it Mayim. Why is it called Mayim then if it's actually talking about Yayin? See, nishmak beso kemayim, ika bracha, v'ilo, lo, because if it pours like water in your house, then that's going to be a bracha, and otherwise, it's not going to be a bracha. Am Rabbi Loi, b'shlosh dvarim adam nikar, there are 3 ways you can recognize a person's true character. Bekoso, how he acts when he drinks, ubekiso, when he's dealing in business, if he's honest, or Picasso, and how he acts when he's angry, or just how quickly he is to anger. And some say in moments of levity as well, you can see the kind of person that he is, whether he maintains control in moments of levity. The Rama writes in Archaim Sim Reish Sadivav, when it comes to the Kos Avdala, that the minig is to pour from the Kos of Yain ala Aretz, because Kol Bayish L'Nishmach Bo Yain Kemayim Ein Bel Simen Bracha. So it's a Simen Bracha to overflow the coast of the Avdala. Shilta Giborim and the Mordechai quotes the same from Matzasi Kosov, and that's the source of the Ramah. The Taz writes that the Ramah is Mefarish Arasugya, that there's Simon Bracha simply by pouring the wine in the house, and the Taz disagrees and he says, that's not what the Gemara means. Adrabah, you're not allowed to just pour wine out, it's Baltashkas, you can go and waste the wine. He says, Lashon the Gemara is B'dievet, Kol She'en Yayin Nishbach b'toch beso. It doesn't say kol she'in bay she'in shovchin bo yayin. It's describing what happens. What Chazal is telling us is that if wine pours out and a person doesn't get angry, that he just lost the wine and he manages to maintain his cool, even though something that he very much didn't want to happen has just happened. That's a siman bracha in the bias that a person doesn't get. And that's why it goes into b'shlosh dvarim adim nikar. It's not because of bekoso, that's the pashtus. It's because of bekaso, that the anger is not evident. That's how the Tazan says. Minig is, we do pour over a little bit of the wine. Just got to be careful. You can't do that with Shemitah wine, because you're not allowed to be ma'abed Shemitah wine. Amrav Yudam Rav. Back to Erevin. Yisrael v'nachri b'pnimis, v'yisrael b'chitzonu, v'yisrael v'nachri live in the inner chatzer, but Yisrael lives in the outer chatzer. So what's the halacha? Do you need a schirus rishus for the guy in the outer chatzer? So b'maislim v'nei Rabbi v'asar, v'nei Rabbi Chia v'asar. Both Rabbi and Rabbi Chia asered it. So yasar rabbar v'yasar b'shilu p'yukid Rav Sheshes. He was sitting Rav Sheshes shir v'yasar, Rav Sheshes v'kamar, keman amara Rav l'shmaite. Who is Rav assuming? Like Rabbi Meir? He must be assuming like Rabbi Meir that even one Yisrael living with a nachri, we're going to require a schiris rishus because we make this gezera even when it's an uncommon situation of one Jew living with a nachri. Karkish Rabba shook his head in disagreement. Amar Rav Yosef, trei gavri Rabba v'krabanan litu b'hai milsa. Could it be that two great? In agreement, not in disagreement. He shook his head. So could it be that both Rav Sheshes and Rabba made a mistake about this thing that Rav was going like shitas Rav Meir? Ikra Meir lamali Yisrael b'chitzona. If it's like Rav Meir, you don't even need the Yisrael in the outer courtyard. Just the inner courtyard itself with the Jew and the non-Jew, you already need a schiris rishus. So why do you have to complicate the case? And don't tell me, no, there was a Maisa Shahaya where it just happened to be that there was a guy in the outer chatzer. Because they asked Rav, what about the guy in the inner chatzer? And he said, no, that's mutter. So you see, Beferish not like Rabbi Meir. So who's he assuming like? Rabbi Lozman Yaakov. Can't be going like Rabbi Lozman Yaakov either, because Rabbi Lozman Yaakov says that it's only going to be a problem when two Yisraelim live together with the Nachri in the same Chatzer. Ve'elek Rabbi Akiva must be similar to Rabbi Akiva. Damar regula mutaris b'makoma osera shalom b'makoma. So Yisrael who lives in the inner Chatzer is allowed to carry out into his Chatzer. So he's mutar b'makoma, but he's still going to aser on the Yisrael in the outer Chatzer. Well then, lamali Nachri? Why do you need the Nachri to be involved in the inner chatzer? Afil Yisrael Nami, just by virtue of the Yisrael being there, you already have a problem, because he's a regular mutaris b'makoma, that aser shalom b'makoma. So says our fourth and final possibility, Amar Avun Ben Yeshua, li'olam k'Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Really, we're assuming like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, u'k'Rabbi Akiva, and like Rabbi Akiva, that a regular mutaris b'makoma asers shalom b'makoma. So the Yisrael who lives in the inner chatzer asers the hotza'ah on the Yisrael who lives in the chitzona. Aye, why does it mention that there's a nachri in the panimus as well? But over here we're talking about where the two Yisraelim made an eruv with each other. And that's why it's only on account of the nachri where you require schiris rishus that it's going to be asr, because now the Jew on the inside, the Jew on the outside made an eruv. Now they've become one chatzer. So now it's like two Jews and one guy. And that even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was going to say requires. That must be the assumption. What if they were flipped? Yisrael was alone in the inner chatzer, and Yisrael and Anachri lived in the outer chatzer. Hasam taimim shum deshchiach the dyer the mirtas nachri v'saver hashta asi Yisrael varmli Yisrael dava gabach hecha. Is it that dafka over there where we say that the Yisrael and Anachri are in the inner chatzer, Yisrael is in the outer chatzer, that the Anachri is going to be afraid to do anything because he's afraid that now the Yisrael that lives in the outer chatzer is going to come and he's going to say, hey, where's the other Jew? And you can't say, oh, he went out. I live in the outer chatzer. If he went out, I would have seen him walk by. I didn't see him walk by. Where is he? So the Nachri's going to be afraid to murder his neighbor. Aval hacha, but in the case where the Nachri and the Yisrael live in the outer chatzer, amin elei navagazalei. Maybe when he starts being questioned about what happened to the other Jew, the Nachri's not going to be afraid to kill him because he'll be able to say, oh, he went out and you didn't see him because you live in the inner chatzer. Or maybe the fear of the Nachri and killing a Yisrael when there's another Yisrael around is that he's going to be caught in the act. It's not that he's going to be questioned later and he's not going to have an answer, but he's going to be afraid to kill him because he might get caught in the act. So he quoted the pasuk in Mishlei that I tell you a little halacha, you should figure out the rest from there. Meaning that that even in such a case where the Nachri lives in the outer chatzer, it's the same that he asks on him as well. Reish Lakish and Tamid Rabbi Chanina klal lahu pundok. Reish Lakish and Tamid Rabbi Chanina went to a certain inn, v'lava socher, and the Nachri who rented space in that area, in that place, wasn't around, so they couldn't be socher reshus from him. But he also wasn't a problem, because if he wasn't there, then he doesn't create a problem. But the concern is that he might come back in the middle of Shabbos. Then what are they going to do? V'hava maskir, but the landlord who rented out the space to him was around. Someone might want to make a minei. Can we do a schiris reshus from the landlord who doesn't live in this chatzer when the guy who does live in the chatzer is not around? So if the landlord is not powerful enough to throw the tenant out, then he's not authorized to do the schiris reshus. The shaila is if the landlord is powerful enough to be able to throw the tenant out. So Mike, even the matzim misalikle agreen. No, Dilma Hashem lo salke. Do we assume since he has that power to be able to throw him out, so you can do schiris reshus from him? Or do you say, well, no, now he hasn't done anything, so you have a tenant who still lives there, and you can't do schiris reshus from the landlord? So Amalin Reish Lakish Niskar Lakshnegi Etzarab Sin Shabdarim Nishalan. You know what? Let's just do a schiris reshus with the maskir, and when we get to the Rabbanim, we'll ask the Shaila. Because right now, the Rishon pointed out, right now it's not a problem, the Achronim pointed out, it's not a problem anyway, because the guy's not here anyway. It's only concerned that he might come. So they were able to do the schiris just in case, and then they would ask the shayla later. So asav shayla Rabbi Efes, amar lehen yafa asisim sheschartem. And then they asked the shayla, and they were told that it's okay, that the maskir has the rishus to be to do the schiris rishus, and it's going to be mutter to carry in that chatzar. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up the Chanina Bar Yosef.